Welcome to Double Fries, No Slaw. It's been a long time since I said that, Richie. I feel like we haven't done a Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening podcast, recap, live show in a long time. I've been doing live shows like on Friday afternoons, but we haven't done this in a while, and we might bring this back. We'll see how you guys like it. We'll see if you guys want this or not. Maybe this will be a first and last time. But let's jump right into things. Double fries, no slaw. In fact, in the videos that we do a lot of times, I don't even say that. So here we are. Let's talk a little FSU football. A crazy last couple of days, and it seems like things are only going to get crazier as we head into the week, and then certainly as we head into next weekend. But Florida State, Richie, landed a five-star commitment on Friday night from Charles Lester III. Want to talk about that a little bit and what that means. We put out a video, so you've probably already seen that. We won't bore you with it. But one thing we didn't really talk about in that, Richie, and I want to get your take on, is Florida State got a massive commitment last year from a five-star in Hakeem Williams. And as massive as that was and as big as that was, the Lester commitment felt, I don't know, maybe I'm crazy about this, felt bigger for whatever reason. Maybe it's because it was against Alabama and Georgia and then Deion and the payback from Travis Hunter and everything else. But it almost feels like with the smoke that's around other five stars, it's becoming cool to go to Florida State again.
Yeah, you mentioned it, TJ. Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State was another one that really a lot of people thought Lester was considering, in Colorado, which normally you would not even bring up. But with Coach Prime, that's a big deal. And to get that commitment, and I love that On3 tweeted out the commitment video when he actually committed a month ago to Florida State. You know, he was a silent for a long time, and I hate silent commitments because, you know, that can be whatever it is. Like, you know, it doesn't mean anything to me, but it clearly meant something to Charles Lester III. And getting a guy like that, is that like Jimbo getting LaMarcus Joyner? You know, I think it's a huge deal for Florida State to get Charles Lester III in the boat. And like you mentioned, it seems like it's cool to come to Florida State again. And shout out Luke Kromenhawk for him and his family being at the commitment ceremony when, you know, 247 kind of put that out there that he and his whole family were going to be at the ceremony. I'm like, no way he's picking anybody other than Florida State, right?
Yeah, definitely calmed some nerves that people had, you know, with that visit that he took out to Colorado last week. You know, I think that we talked about this on the video the other day, but I think that certainly this was not Travis Hunter part two. And I think the biggest difference was, I mean, obviously it already committed to Coach Norvell and staff, but the communication just stayed up, right? And Travis Hunter was committed as well. In fact, he was publicly committed, which probably locks somebody in even more than a silent commit. But yeah, it definitely feels like the tides are turning. Again, it's kind of the cool thing to go to FSU at this point. And that's how it has always been. And so took a 3 or 4 year break from that. Let's not kid ourselves, but good to kind of be back into that at this moment. So Charles Lester commits Florida State then, and I see a lot of your questions. Make sure that you're supporting the show if you want to make sure that your questions get read on air. These are different. These aren't like our lives that we do on Friday where I just rapid fire all the questions up and down. If you want a question read this time, you got to show some love. So anyway, Florida State, I see your questions about the Board of Trustees meeting and different things like that. We will certainly talk about conference realignment in a moment. We'll start with recruiting and go on. Florida State then picked up another commitment. Alex Atkins stays
the GOAT
on it and goes out and gets Manessi. Manessi ITT. I can do the last name really, really well. So Manessi ITT. Okay. There were a lot of hot takes and there were a lot of like, oh, has Atkins lost it? And oh, what's going on with offensive line? And we're not going to land anybody because somebody's just going to steal Atkins next year anyway. And there was a lot of that crap going on. And very quietly, Florida State stayed in it for ITT. I don't know if that's the only guy they'll flip from USC this year, but we'll talk about just ITT for today. A really good job. Steve Wilfong kind of came out of nowhere with a crystal ball. Zach Blostein of Knowles 247, who did a phenomenal job on the Charles Lester commitment. You guys know Zach, but obviously did really, really well there. ITT doesn't, it's not a flip because it was like a day later, but decommits from USC, commits to the Knowles. They get their second blue chip in like, what, 24 hours? It was less than 24 hours. So a fun little Friday night, Saturday afternoon, eh, Richie?
Oh, man, it was amazing. And, you know, you think of where this offensive line was 5 years ago, like even when Jimbo's last year, you know, Willie Taggart inherited an abysmal offensive line. And now we have, what, 12 guys that we would be fine with it if they had to start. And the recruiting has just been amazing. And this is a guy that, you know, people, if you remember, Florida State really felt good about him originally when he committed to USC, and to get the flip shows that those relationships matter a lot, right? Alex Atkins has done a phenomenal job, and for him to be able to, you know, get him even after he committed to USC to say, hey, you know what, I made a mistake, let me come to Florida State. That's a big deal. And man, it's exciting. And like you mentioned, TJ, blue chip after blue chip, Florida State recruiting is on fire right now.
Yeah, great job by the staff. A lot of people ask, like, hey, why did he flip back? Not flip back, sorry. Why were the Noles able to get back into his recruitment? And so I said this on the video. I'll repeat it real quick, and then we'll move on from ITT. But I think that the kid is somewhat impressionable. I think that that's kind of fair to say. I don't mean that in a bad way at all, but I do think he's somewhat impressionable. He said that he almost committed to Florida State on his last visit, and then he did commit to USC either on his visit or shortly after, like a day or two after his visit is what I think it was. So, you know, emotional. Sometimes you commit right after a visit happens because you're caught up in the moment. And like I said, you don't hear too many guys leaving official visits anywhere in the country, certainly not USC, and not having had a good time. And so I think the things that put Florida State in front originally and kind of had a lot of people sold that he was going to go to FSU are still there, right? Alex Atkins' development, the hype around the season, the communication, the relationships. And once some of that visit high from USC subsided, I think that the Noles were able to come back in. And so shout out to Atkins for never giving up there. Let's shout out our folks over that work with our NIL, the Battle's End, as well. Yes. If you're not signed up there, this isn't an ad, but you should probably go sign up for the Battle's End if you want to continue to land blue chip prospects that are looking at USC and other places like that. Hit the thumbs up button if you're watching. We appreciate you guys tuning in. Again, kind of a little bit of a throwback. Richie and I are tossing around some ideas, kicking around some different things that we may do with the show, with the channel, with the podcast. And so trying something a little bit new, a little bit old new. We've done this in the past. So
I'm loving the live, TJ, honestly.
Yeah, this is fun. It's been a while.
Seeing the comments just flow in.
I love the comments. I love all the interaction. So hit the thumbs up. We got well over 200 people in here, so we should have around 200 likes or more. So, Richie, I love that shirt too. I know you got it from garnetandgold.com. Yeah, .com. I know you weren't up there. It was Tallahassee, so no chance. Garnetandgold.com. Richie's shirt is the N7 vibe on the polo there. Garnetandgold.com. Use code NOSLAW, NOSLAW, for 15% off of your order. You should not be shopping anywhere else for FSU gear. They are the absolute best. We're showing you the jerseys on screen now. They were the first ones to get the jerseys in. So make sure that you are shopping at garnetandgold.com only. Again, NOSLAW gets you 15% off your order. Florida State also got a commitment today, and I'm not going to act like a complete expert on this just yet because I've just been slammed working outside, but got a commitment from Tamir Hickman Collins. I saw some comments around that. He is a three-star linebacker, and I know that folks aren't always the happiest with how our linebacker recruiting has been going. I will say I've spoken with a couple of people, and the little bit that I do know about him is he certainly looks like a kid who is very physical. I think that you're going to have to wait to see if he can develop into the Power 5 guy that you want him to be at Florida State. He's not a day one guy by any means. We're not going to spin that and sell it to you like he's a Charles Lester or ITT or anything like that. we'll see kind of what that development looks like over the next year and a half. I understand that folks want a five-star for every position everywhere. It's not the case here, but I do think that this staff evaluates very, very well. And so I think that the staff does a pretty good job with their takes. Is everyone going to pan out? Absolutely not, but we'll see kind of how Hickman Collins does. So the Noles get three commitments in 48 hours. Not a bad little weekend at all, Richie. More potentially on the way. We've chatted in the Discord a ton about this. We have talked a lot about KJ Bolden. I know there's a lot of concern or freak out or worry. I don't know why, because the kid is uncommitted, but about a kid taking a visit to Auburn. And I get it. Auburn is throwing massive bags around right now and really kind of just doing insane things on the trail, flipping five stars from UGA and Bama and everywhere else. I get it. Auburn's doing really, really nuts stuff right now. I still really like where FSU sits for this recruitment. I think they're doing a phenomenal job with KJ Bolden. He announces on Saturday, trying to distance out and map out how far Savannah is from Buford. Because I really like if Luke Winton showed up for that one as well, like he did with Charles Lester. But KJ Bolden, man, if the Noles are able to pull off the Lester Bolden commitment 8 days apart, that is certainly one of the most insane DB weeks that you've ever seen. One more news and note on defensive backs. Florida State got a visit from Jamari Howard. KJ is a top 10 player in the country. Charles Lester is a top 20 player in the country. Jamari Howard is a top 70 player in the country. I know that he doesn't get all the name recognition that KJ and Charles do, but he's still a really, really elite kid. And if Florida State is able to go 3-for-3 there, if they're able to get Lester, Bolden, and Howard in this class, it is probably the best defensive back class in the country. I'm not going to pretend to know Alabama's board. I'm not going to pretend to know UGA's or anything else like that. I guess I can go in through and look and verify that. But the idea of getting two top 20 kids, one of them being a top 10 kid and a top 70 kid as well, with a little bit of a bump, right? Like if Jamari Howard moves up like two or three corners, he's a five-star, right? And so like that's, is he going to do that his senior year? We'll find out. But that's an insane DB class. There's a long way to go. I'm certainly not saying that the Noles are definitively going 3-for-3 there, but that would be the most ridiculous DB class that you could hope for. And, you know, again, shout out Pat Surtain, doing a great job on the trail already. And shout out the Battle's End, because yes, we can call a spade, and we know how, you know, big boy recruiting works at this time. And so, again, they're not sponsoring us or anything. They don't give us any money to say this. Go sign up for the Battle's End. They're phenomenal. And if you want to keep getting five stars like that, then you should be supporting. So, Rich, anything else on recruiting? Any thoughts on recruiting overall before we move on?
No, yeah, just shout out Ingram Smith and the Battle's End. They do a phenomenal job. And I see Ross O'Malley commented live, you know, asking, do you expect Hugh Freeze to follow the rules? No, there's no rules anymore, guys. This is just go out, recruit, you know, Florida State with the Battle's End, with the Rising Spear. We can compete with anybody, and that is a big deal. And that's something that should excite Florida State fans. And we'll get into, you know, the realignment talk here in the near future, in next few minutes. But yeah, Florida State is in a good spot right now, and every Florida State fan should be excited. Miami, not so much with that breaking news.
Oh yeah, we'll have to talk about that.
We'll leave that for a later date. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll bag on Miami a little bit here in just a minute. So, okay, that's our recruiting segment. Let's talk a little bit about ACC Media Days, and then that's a really good transition, I think, right into the conference realignment stuff, which we'll talk about here in just a moment. Hey, Jeff Hill's still our donation. He carried over from last time, so if anybody wants to take Jeff's spot, you're more than welcome to down on the bottom. Okay, ACC Media Days. Okay, let's talk about our guys first, Richie, and then I'll bag on the commissioner a little bit. But I was really impressed with Kalen DeLoach. I just think his growth since the time he got here, and you know, his whatever you call it, like his stick it outness, you know, like stuck around a bad program and saw coaching changes and man has been an A class, A plus person for his entire career here and has really developed into being one of the best linebackers in the conference. And so shout out Kalen. I think it was so cool. I mean, obviously you knew Jared and Jordan were going to go. They're maybe the best two players in the conference. And so it kind of makes sense that they would be there. I mean, I don't really think there was a lot of question around that. You know, I think if either one of them wouldn't have been there, people would have been asking Norvell, like, hey, man, like, something wrong with one of those guys. But then he had a lot of people that he could have picked from for that next spot. Trey Benson, Johnny Wilson's getting a lot of love. Fabian Lovett. There's a lot of guys on that defense and really all over that you could have gone with. But I thought to go with Kalen was really, really impressive. And, again, he great parenting leads to a great kid. I'm really impressed with Kalen being out there and representing Florida State super well.
Yeah, no, Kalen DeLoach is a guy, man. And people forget, he was a Michigan lean when he's a senior in high school. Say what you want about the guys. Shout out Willie Taggart for getting Kalen DeLoach here. And he's been phenomenal for Florida State. I don't think he was 100% healthy last year, but he's a guy that I think could have a huge impact this season in potentially leading Florida State back to an ACC championship, which is the goal, in my opinion. I'm not a playoff or bust guy, but I definitely think we need to get back to Charlotte and win up there and get that ACC championship. Jared Verse, man, we knew he was going to stand out up at the ACC media days. His personality is massive. And Jordan Travis is kind of the low-key guy, laid back. But, I mean, he and Drake May are the talk of the ACC when it comes to the quarterback position. And I think Jordan Travis is the better quarterback. And I think he plays for the better team. I think, you know, we'll see what happens when the preseason all ACC teams come out. But I think postseason all ACC teams, you're going to see Jordan Travis. You're going to see Jared Verse. And I do think you will see Kalen DeLoach as first team players.
I'm with it. I'm okay with all of that. I would have no complaints with any of that right there. So, okay. We were positive about that. Here's where I'll be negative. I think the commissioner's an idiot. Oh, and I said this on the video that I put out. Listen, I think he was dealt an impossible hand. I think Jim Phillips came into a burning building with a squirt gun. And it's kind of unfortunate for him. So I'll say that. I'll preface it. But for his big takeaways today to be the strength of non-revenue generating sports and the academics in this conference, when all anyone cares about is how the heck are we going to survive big boy college football making $30 to $40 million less a year, for him to get up on his crutch of look how good we are at, did you see in lacrosse we had both teams were ACC teams, and in women's tennis, which again I love Jen Hyde, I love our athletics programs. I've taken my daughter to get women's tennis, but like for him to be an ACC football kickoff and be touting tennis and lacrosse when we're all wondering, man, like how are we surviving the next 3 years? Just absolutely insane. He was not coming in and fixing this. He was. It's hard to, maybe I shouldn't give him such a hard time, but yeah, just kind of insane when you think about, how he was up there on the stage the other day.
Yeah. And to your point, TJ, Jim Phillips was dealt an impossible hand. He was dealt like a 2-7 off suit for those who play poker, right? John Swofford is the man who tanked this conference. He let nepotism destroy the ACC by signing a Raycom deal with his son who ran Raycom at the time, and then an ACC deal until 2036, just a complete disaster. Jim Phillips, poor guy, man. Like, he took over an impossible job. He had no chance at succeeding at all. And, he probably didn't know it was that bad at the time. But, going back to last year when he said, oh, we just want to be in the gated community, that was bad enough, but his performance this year at the ACC Media Days in Charlotte was embarrassing. It was pathetic. And again, to both our points, there's not much he could have done. But really, the heat should be on John Swofford. You know, he was a Carolina boy, and that's all he cared about. He let nepotism get involved with his son. And unfortunately, what are you going to do? Fire Jim Phillips? Who's going to take this job? Nobody wants this job as ACC commissioner at this point. So just hopefully, you know what, we'll get into it. Conference realignment. We need to get out of the ACC as soon as possible. And a couple of weeks, we might have an idea of what that might look like.
All right, let's get into it then. Let's talk a little conference realignment all the smoke that exists there, all of the it's insane. Conference realignment stuff right now has never been louder. So, big thanks. Yeah, Phillips was an absolute embarrassment. So, just before we talk about conference realignment, thegrahamcode.com, the very best in Delta 8. You can visit there to get your gummies, your Wake and Bake coffee, your pre-rolls, your vapes, whatever you are looking for, thegrahamco.com. You can use DFNS25 or TJ25 at checkout. You'll get 25% off your order, thegrahamco.com. Okay, conference realignment. Let's jump into it. There is so much smoke, Richie. And let's explain this. So a lot of people have pointed to the August 15th date as a date by which we will potentially hear something. A lot of people have said there's a potential of hearing something in the next day or two. I don't know about that. I think the Board of Trustees meeting that's happening at Florida State Wednesday would probably need to happen first. I think all that stuff's public though, so I think we'll hear about all that and find out more at midweek. I don't expect anything in the next day or two. I'd love to be wrong on that. I will say that, like, anything I say here that sounds like negativity towards leaving the ACC, I will tell you, I hope I'm completely wrong and hope I'm out of that. But so I think that the August 15th deadline that you hear people talk about is the last date that you could declare that this would be your last year in the ACC. So if Florida State legitimately thought that they were going to be out of the ACC beginning next year, beginning with the very next season, so we win these next 15 games, and then that next game that we would play would no longer be an ACC game, which, first of all, how would that work for Ireland, Richie? Maybe we should stay one more year for that. But that's what the August 15th deadline is you have to announce by then your intention to leave. If you get to August 16th and you haven't announced that intention to leave, you have to play the next year in the ACC. And so what people have said is, well, if you don't announce by August 15th, then you are here until at least the 2025 football season. Richie, I don't know what your thoughts are. I don't actually expect us to announce anything by August 15th. I don't mean to, like, you know, put a bunch of, you know, sadness down on this parade or anything. What I've heard and what we've alluded to a little bit is I think that Florida State is under the understanding that, like, we're probably a year or two away from leaving. So I would not be shocked if an announcement came after August 15th so that it gave Florida State 2 years to have all of the ducks in a row, to have everything lined up and be done. Now, again, I would 100% be thrilled to be wrong about that. I just don't expect it. I don't expect something within the next 16 days. We'll see. Again, I would love for this. You guys, I would love to be old takes exposed on this, but I don't expect it. I don't think something comes before then. But again, maybe I'll be wrong there.
Yeah, and you know, I don't know what to think, to be honest, TJ. And this Ireland trip better not fall apart. I'm taking my wife for her 40th birthday. Like, we're super excited about that with Georgia Tech. But man, I don't know. You know, it came out of nowhere. You know, shout out Chris Knee 247. He does not report things recklessly. So for him to even put it out there tells me there's conversations being had. But to your point, TJ, I do think that, you know, it's a little early for what we're talking about. And I think this is Florida State saying, hey, you know, we're not, you know, ready to go all in just yet, but we definitely need to make sure we're the ones that, you know, blow this conference up, for lack of better words, right? Because no one else is going to do it. And Michael Alford, man, when he came in just with the boosters, was awesome. I love that he's our athletics director now. And I do think that, you know, Florida State is on the way out. But I agree with you, TJ. I don't know if we'll hear it in the next 2 weeks, but they are definitely shaking the boat right now, saying, guys, anyone else, Clemson, you know, North Carolina, Duke, whoever, come on, guys, we need to get out. And Florida State is leading the way. And I absolutely love that we are the ones that it seems like will blow this conference up.
Yeah, no, it's super exciting. Okay, Harlan, you can play your super chat.
Touchdown, Florida State! Touchdown, FSU!
So, again, you read into what you will on different things. I actually just saw a tweet from Greg Swaim, who has been all over the conference realignment stuff, saying that Florida State, what he's hearing, Florida State will negotiate down the buyout to $300 million. But will be paid in installments of close to $30 million annually. The Noles get roughly double that from the Big Ten or SEC each year, though. So we'll see. I think that's interesting. I don't necessarily know if I agree with that or if it makes a ton of sense. If the revenue gap is about $30 million, I don't necessarily know why it makes sense to then pay $30 million in installments. My stance has always been that you should blow up the conference by getting seven other teams to dissolve it, but we'll see. Again, that's Greg Swaim's take. Hopefully he ends up being right. All right, Fozzie's taking the lead. Now you guys can fight on this down at the bottom.
Fire up the war chest and plant the spear. Noles win. Noles win.
430 people in here. Guys, hit the like button and keep commenting, because if we could get 500, that would be our highest ever. Harlan, I don't think we've ever hit 500 in a live before. So we'll stay on for a few more minutes to make sure we hit that. But all right, Richie, Bit Fawzit, thank you so much for my guy, man. Shout out to Animal House.
What a discard channel.
Richie, we disagree on this, which is totally fine with me. I'm good disagreeing here. You have a preference that's different than mine. You want to go to the Big Ten. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, you know, it's. I mean, we're either going to end up most likely, more often than not, in the Big Ten or the SEC. The SEC makes a ton of sense, and travel-wise for Florida State fans, that's probably the best place to end up. I'm leaning towards the Big Ten because I just want to be able to go to the Horseshoe, go to Ohio State, go to Michigan. You know, I think I'm the outlier because as much as I'm a Florida State football fan, I'm that much of a Florida State basketball fan. And I think that probably is swaying me more towards the Big Ten, even though the SEC probably makes more sense. But man, I would love to have annual trips or biannual semi-annual trips to Indiana, Michigan State, East Lansing.
You're crazy.
I would want to go to those places. And who knows what this basketball program's future is right now. Maybe it's better in the Big Ten. I don't know. Let's be honest. We agree, TJ. We're both on the same page that any place, if it's one of those two conferences, the Big Ten or the SEC, is much better than what we're at right now in the ACC, which is not sustainable by any account.
Jeff, my man.
Smile on your face. Okay, because Florida State, if we gonna do it then, we do it big. Let's go, baby.
Listen, maybe Jameis was at 10 years ago hinting about what conference we're going to, saying if we do it big, we do it big then. How much run will that clip get if we do go to the Big Ten? Yeah, so I do prefer the SEC. I talked about this on the video, on the last conference realignment video that we did. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you for the love. But
baseball would dominate the Big Ten. I agree with that.
We ain't moving for baseball. Sorry about that. So would softball. So from my understanding, I could be wrong on this, but Ariel, it's been so long. All right, I know we don't usually do it unless it's a super chat, but Ariel, I hope you're Hope you're doing better from the last time you super chatted. I know you had some stuff going on last time, but happy it's good birthday. To see you in here.
Yes.
Yeah, prayers up still. Listen, I've had some conversations, I've had some talks with people, and it sounds like our media rights are not owned by the ACC. They are owned by ESPN. And so what I think is interesting there is if you go to the SEC, ESPN still owns your media rights. And so maybe you don't have to pay that grant of rights out. Maybe you're able to just pay that $120 to leave the conference because the SEC still owns your media rights. If that's the case, to me, the SEC is a complete no-brainer. Now, if the Big Ten is willing to make up that difference or get close to making up that difference, and maybe the SEC isn't willing to, that's my lean for the Big Ten. I think the SEC makes more sense geographically. I think it makes more sense with the rivalries. And if ESPN is who holds the media rights and we can get out of that, we've talked about it on the channel, it's between $400 and $700 million for the rights until 2036. I think you got to go SEC for that reason. Heath, whatever will be, beat Clemson, beat Miami, beat Florida after that. Richie, what's that say? Quesara, Sara?
Quesara, Sara.
What's that mean?
I'm the worst Puerto Rican, man. I don't know.
Bro, come on, man. Give us some noise.
Fire up the war chant and plant the spear. Noles win. Noles win.
He takes the lead. Listen, I don't know what that means. Richie, you sounded so good when you said that.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. Whatever will be, will be. Okay. Yeah. So it was it's a song.
All right.
It is what it is, what are you saying? Sorry. I don't know. Maybe Aslan can, translate on his show, but I can't. I'm not that smart. Okay. So we disagree on where to go, but I also think one of the negatives of the Big Ten is just the travel. The non-rev sports travel is really tough. And, at Florida State, we really only have one rev sport going right now. I don't mean that to be a jerk. I know you're a basketball guy, but it's not like basketball is making us any money right now anyway. And so I think that now, and that's not fair. A couple of years ago they were, but, right now we'd have all of our sports basically non-rev. And so I think that's tough. The travel for that in the Big Ten would be brutal. But we'll see. Again, the one thing we do agree on, anything's better than the ACC. Yes. Like I would take anything in the world over where we are currently, except for the Big 12. I hate the talk of like potentially going to the Big 12.
No,
I'd rather just stay in the ACC and keep dominating that. The Big 12, Bud Elliott had a good tweet and he said there are like 18 teams that can compete for a national championship every year, right? Like if they're fully bought in, fully invested, and the ACC has three of them. The Big 12, now that Texas and Oklahoma are gone, has zero.
Yeah.
There are no teams in the Big 12 that can realistically compete for a national championship. And before you say TCU, just look what happened to them last year when they tried to compete for a championship.
UCF won it in 2013 or 2017.
Oh, get out of here, Simone.
No, but yeah, that's the Big 12 is, I think they are much more sustainable than the Pac-12 is. But, the ACC, I truly believe in 5 years will be like, if they're even around, it'll be like the Big East is now, right? Yeah. And Florida State will have a home in either the Big 10 or SEC. The reason I really think it's the Big 10 is they want to capture the Florida market. The SEC already has Florida. They have Georgia right at the border, right? So I do think the Big Ten makes the most sense, from a business standpoint. From a fan standpoint, the SEC definitely does. But I do think it's going to be the Big.
Here's what's interesting, Richie. If you – so your top teams in the SEC, right? Let's call it – and I'm talking like brands. I know Florida's down right now, but I'm going to include them. Let's say your top SEC teams are Alabama, Georgia, Florida – Oklahoma, Texas, LSU, Texas A&M, Tennessee. So, like, let's use those eight. Nine. We'll go nine Auburn. Okay? Yeah. So, those teams. That's discounting, like, Kentucky, South Carolina, the Mississippi schools, Missouri. Nobody cares. Right? Vandy. Nobody. So, like, those are your, like, say your top nine. let's say you're Big Ten, Ohio State, Michigan. Say they pick up Notre Dame. Say they get Penn State. Say they have Michigan State. Say they have Florida State, Clemson, USC.
North Carolina, if they could.
North Carolina. My goodness. Get rid of North Carolina, say Miami.
Yeah.
Is the SEC's Big Nine, Big Eight, Big Nine better than the Big Ten's?
It's a two conference country.
I think it's close.
And if you want to combine the two main sports that make the money, we talked about revenue generating sports, basketball and football. At that point, the Big Ten, if they get Florida State, Miami, Duke, Clemson, the Big Ten is the king at that point. And that's kind of why I'm like all in on the Big Ten. But for my, you know, gas budget, yeah, give me the SEC.
Yeah, I think that the idea, and even if you just kind of like pared down some of those, the idea of Ohio State, Michigan, Notre Dame, USC, Clemson, and Florida State, that's an insane six.
That's like, a national brand, not just a regional brand.
Right. Like Florida is a great regional brand, yeah. And Auburn is a great regional brand. And Tennessee is a great regional, but those aren't national brands. Nope. Like, nobody cares about those schools. Texas A&M, that's not a national brand. The six I just listed, Clemson, Florida State, Notre Dame, Michigan, Ohio State, USC. Say they add in Oregon? Oh, man, I think the Big Ten.
Texas A&M hasn't won anything since The Wizard of Oz was released in 1946 or 39, whatever.
Or two. So, I don't know. The Big Ten might. Now, if they don't get all those schools, Michigan State's.
Yeah, Penn State. How awesome would it be to go to a whiteout up in Happy Valley?
Penn State. Right. And the fringe, I think the fringe Big Ten teams are better than the fringe SEC. So, so we listed those nine. So then what are you left with? Kentucky, South Carolina, and Ole Miss.
You didn't even mention Nebraska.
Right.
Which was you get to add
Nebraska,
the 90s.
Sparty, Wisconsin. Yeah. Nebraska? You just mentioned Nebraska. Yeah. So, yeah, I think the front, the middle of the, now I will say, the very bottom of the barrel Big Ten, to me, is worse than the bottom of the barrel SEC. Like, the bottom of the barrel SEC is Vandy, but then, like, just above that, like, Miss State, Ole Miss, Missouri, like, all those teams are way better than, like, Rutgers.
Yeah. Respectable,
and, so, like, Vandy and Rutgers go together. Like, Vandy's beating the heck out of Rutgers. I think the top is pretty even. The middle is more Big Ten, and the bottom is the SEC. So, would be pretty insane. Okay, let's talk about Miami and let's get out of here because this is hilarious. But some news is coming out this week or came out today that Life Wallet, John Ruiz's company, John Ruiz, the Miami sugar daddy, NIL guy down there, who was the absolute loudest mouth of all time on Twitter. Sounds like he is under federal investigation. And, I've heard some rumblings. I'm not going to speak any players' names, but, like, I've heard some players' names that are absolutely transferring out of Miami at the end of this year. They didn't want to go to Miami, couldn't turn down the money, and the Ponzi scheme is almost up. The legitimate Ponzi scheme where he was lying to investors about the health of the company to scam their investments is literally almost up. And the house of cards is coming tumbling down. There's a reason that Florida and Florida State are recruiting in the top five or six right now, and Miami's somewhere around 15. They're just not spending the investors' money like they were last year because there's just none left. And it is pretty satisfying to watch, again, the loudest mouth of all time. And I've got a pretty loud mouth on Twitter. But the loudest mouth of all time on Twitter start to go down in John Ruiz and Life Wallet. So fun to see for sure.
Yeah, and this guy is a clown, man. He's hopped into my DMs before just when I was trolling Miami fans. But like you said, the money's not there anymore. And now there's a federal investigation. This is actually a big deal. It's not just like the NCAA is opening an investigation. No, there's a federal investigation going on. And I cannot stand Darren Rovell. I hate that man. But he's been on top of Ruiz for the past months. I think he's the one who kind of broke it today. And yeah, we'll see what happens. But Miami's NIL game, at you know, ever since the Cavender twins went to the WWE, I think it's done. And, you know, we'll see what happens. But, man, if you're a recruit looking at Miami, I would give hard second thoughts. Unless you truly just love the program, go for it. But if NIL is involved, I think Miami's program, their NIL, is about to be a major issue.
Yeah, you got to find you a different college for the good of your career. Yeah, there are, I've got some other jokes that I can't make on here, but if you join the Discord, I'll make them in there. I just can't put some stuff out into the air.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, like I said, I think the House of Cards is tumbling down. And again, I think it is going to be phenomenal to watch. Just an absolute clown show of a program, and, you know, good for them. They absolutely deserve this. Again, I think that, you know, when you kind of think about, and when you look at, it's always those who are the very loudest that when they fall, everyone, you know, everyone laughs at the most, everyone celebrates the most.
You hate,
and you're not supposed
it,
to cheer
TJ,
for people's downfalls, but yeah, it's one of those, I hate to see it, but also at the same time, I love to see it. So, okay. I think we're good for tonight. Rich, you got any closing thoughts? Anything on your mind?
Nah, nothing else, man. Just what a great week for Florida State. I had a good week personally. I can't say anything until early next week at the earliest. But man, it's just been a great weekend if you're a Florida State fan. And let's just keep this thing rolling.
Yeah, if you're not subscribed, this is the most live viewers we've ever had in a show. Hit the thumbs up. Hit the subscribe button. Florida State's on the verge of some really elite news this week. Coming, not only conference realignment smoke, but there's some big recruiting stuff happening this weekend. So make sure you hit that subscribe button. Thank you to our partners, Guthrie's, Graham Co., Garnet & Gold. Love you guys. Go Noles.